A wife is a very important pillar to the husband who's an army officer. Very importantly, one must know that she is the actual person holding fort. She goes ahead with his duty, and his duty involves a lot of challenges that he's going to meet. So if a wife is not going to be able to hold her fort, she would be an impediment on his duty. And a person who has to face so many challenges on a day, if he's going to be having some ingrowing tension in him about his family, about his child, about his parents, would it be fair on this officer that he would be able to do his job without any thought? It's not possible. Yeah. So the wife is a silent force behind the husband.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in.
Hello, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. Today is going to be the last episode in the month celebrating women and women empowerment. And we are joined by someone who is an extremely special guest. And this episode just happened to come about as naturally and as organically as it could have. We are joined today by someone who is a Braveheart supporting Bravehearts. She is a yoga therapist, a Bharatanatyam dancer, and although initially born and brought up in Mumbai, has traveled all over the country as the person who supports a man in OG. Someone who is not only blessed with green fingers and has award-winning gardens, but nurtures her own family and the families of so many others with her beautiful hand and a warm and lovely heart. Listeners, please welcome on board Deepa Santosh, an army wife, a proud one at that.
Thank you so much, Aishwarya. It's such a pleasure, truly obliged to be here. It's my honor to be on your podcast of The Sum of Everything.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. And in fact, I think it was your idea maybe that we could record this podcast that you wanted to come on.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing the credit with me. No, this is great because it has come up at such an amazing time. And for listeners, if you can hear sounds of the garden, that's because we are recording in a garden, which is adjoining a railway station, so you'll probably hear train sounds as well. So that's the beautiful location where we're recording right now. But before we get into the crux of everything, I want to know, how did you end up marrying an army officer having been born and brought up in a city like Mumbai? Like, where is the connection?
I so very much thought that you were going to ask me this, and this is going to be your first question. So like they say, marriages are made in heaven, Aishwarya, and I think ours was too. Yes, you're right. I'm a total civilian and was a total civilian at heart. And having been born in Nasik and being brought up in Bombay, I've only seen Mumbaiites, right? So as I started work at the bank, I used to see naval officers, but I never really knew anything about the army officers. So when ours was an arranged marriage, though I'd love to say it was a love marriage, but it wasn't. It was an arranged marriage. And when this alliance came for me, a horoscope was sent. And incidentally, I realized later that Santosh himself had sent me horoscope.
Oh.
And when he sent the horoscope, my father said, I wanted to be in the army someday. So I think my son-in-law should be an army officer. So I said, okay. And then my mother said, you know, I'm born and brought up in Devlali. So I've seen army officers, the cant. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
They all have lovely gardens. They attend lovely parties. Yeah. And they really enjoy life. So I think, yes, we must look at an army officer.
Yeah.
And as the army officer came to see me, I saw his stunning shoes. The shining shoes of a Gorkha. And that's it. I just fell in love.
Oh,
yes. That's how I ended up marrying an army officer. And I think I'm glad doing it. It was enriching and it was really nice.
So it was love's first shoe.
Yes. The first impression of his beautiful shoes or the shining shoes that he wore.
That is such an amazing story. And it's actually so fascinating because you're right. I think the first thing that attracts people about the army is the glamour of it, right? Because the walls are impenetrable. The gates can't be crossed by civilians like us unless we're privileged enough to know somebody on the inside. True. So, as an institution, it looks so cool. A man in uniform and all the perks that come with being in the army, being in the uniform, the canteen privileges. And I know this because, my friends have supplied me with a lot of liquor from the canteen. But very few civilians really understand all that is required to be a part of that institution, you know, the sacrifices that it entails and just how much you need to do to justify what you're getting from it.
Right.
So,
right.
Do you want to shed some light on that aspect of it? What it takes to be an army officer or an army wife?
Yes, I should. So that I see a lot of questions in this one question. So I'll try and answer it bit by bit. Yes, you're right. Men in uniform actually are the most handsome men I've ever met. So instantly, I guess anyone can fall in love with them. They really look smart, very dashing, very brave, and hence the glamour. And wives have to be an equal partner to them. So yes, we also do look glamorous. I'm actually, complimenting myself for this. But yes, if you look at a life of a civilian, you would probably see that they are more or less stationed at the same place, in the same environment. Children go to the same school. They have a stability and a permanency to where they are. So everything is known. Everything is obviously easily adaptable. So we feel that the hardships are less. And when you look at an army life, everything is just different. There's a lot of unpredictability. There's a lot of uncertainty that happens. We move from place A to place B. Sometimes it will be the far north or sometimes it'll be the far east. With a lot of hardships, sometimes you get posted to very tiny and small places where things are not easily available. These, if you say hardships, yes, they are hardships. Yes. Because most of us, like me as an army wife, and I'm also saying it's for other girls who come from different sectors of the society. When we come into the army, it's an institution by itself. So we are groomed into the army. We actually make a place and fit into it. So yes, moving to small stations, packing all the time. Every 2 years is a packing. And that's not easy.
Yeah.
Though we get lovely and beautiful houses, we get beautiful gardens. But we got to make it a beautiful home.
Yeah.
So the process of making it a beautiful home is hard. It's not easy. Also, I would also want to throw light on a very important fact. That the motto of the army officer is service before self. So his service, his duty is the most important thing in his life. Is his first wife and then comes the family.
Right.
So in such occasions or in such circumstances, he can get duly posted to any field areas where we would stay separated. We'll stay alone. We are almost single parenting at most times. And we are raising children at different areas of the country, at different camps. Which are not like a city life.
Correct.
It's a small place. It's a small cant. Things may not be available.
Right.
So children and wives have, the families have to fend for themselves at most times.
Right.
And that is another hardship that actually can put us, off guard. But that's how life is in the army. So, and there's also a danger that is always lurking around an army officer that when he's on a field posting, he's encountering so much of danger. Dangerous adventures that he's undergoing or challenges,
right?
Which puts us at a place where we are always praying. So like we say that luck is the biggest weapon that a soldier can carry. So it's the same for us. Luck, you see, he's lucky. He escapes everything and he comes out safe and nice. But for all this, we got to be doing it all alone. So when you look at it, going to a small place, staying at a small place, adjusting to a different life, staying away from your parents or your family, and tending to your child alone, ensuring that everything is comfortable and everything is going normal, controlling and keeping our emotions at check at all times when your husband is at a place. It's a big thing. So these perks and privileges are too minuscule for what an army officer's wife and the family undergoes. So let's not look at that perks and privileges. Let's look at the life as an entirety, which I think everyone gets.
Right.
The person who's out in a city gets a lot of perks and privileges of going into a mall, walking to restaurants, enjoying themselves, or even celebrating festivals with their loved ones. Mm-hmm. Like I remember, I don't think I would have celebrated the initial years of my marriage anniversary or a Diwali or a Christmas with my husband being here.
Right. No, yes, you're right. I think it's easy to say that officers and families, army families or defense families get so much. But the thing is, the things that we as civilians take for granted is something that's very difficult for army families to come by. Like you said, it's not easy for army families who are posted in field areas to simply walk into a mall, or things that are like apps that are everyday use, like Blinkit and things like that, were discussing.
Yeah, it's not a privilege. Something is a privilege that when I go home, maybe to Bangalore, and I just love to do the Blinkit, so I keep ordering things just for the fun of it. And yes, you can't do a Swiggy as easily. As a matter of fact, I've been trying to get a big basket installed for me, mm-hmm. and that hasn't been happening because we are at a very small place. But yes, so I think these small little things, the privilege that you call as a canteen,
mm-hmm.
it's a small privilege when it's compared to the entirety of the whole process.
Yeah, and one would even argue that it might be a necessity in this area, right? A canteen, yes, you get so many other things in at more affordable prices, but that's because you're doing so much more.
Correct. And, you know, so if you look at it, yes, the glamour is not the perks and privileges. Mm. The glamour is the men in uniform.
Yes.
And the ladies who support them and stand by them.
For sure.
You know, hand to hand.
Yes, definitely. And in fact, now that you know, you had mentioned earlier that it's almost single parenting, because a lot of times you're on your own because your husbands are out on the field. They're battling. They're involved in skirmishes. But so what I want to know is, or rather the way I look at it is that army wife is a job in itself, right? It involves so much because you're not just staying at home and taking care of your own family. You're also taking care of the family of the boys, the jawans, the other ranks, all of them. So you're taking care of their families as well. So if your husband has X number of people under him, then that means that so many families under you.
Absolutely.
And that's not something most people are aware of, that there's a lot of responsibility that comes with being an army wife.
Yeah.
And in fact, one could even argue that your role as the wife and the lady of the house impacts your husband's career as well. So would you agree with that statement?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, impacts, yes. A wife is a very important pillar
uh-huh.
to the husband.
Uh-huh.
The husband was an army officer or in the armed forces, I would say, be it any part of the armed forces. Why? Very importantly, one must know that she is the actual person holding fort.
Uh-huh.
He goes ahead with his duty uh-huh. and his duty involves a lot of challenges that he's going to meet.
Uh-huh.
So if a wife is not going to be able to hold her fort, she would be a impediment on his duty.
Correct.
And a person who has to go ahead and has to face so many challenges on a day, if he's going to be having some ingrowing tension in him about his family, about his child, about his parents, you tell me, would it be fair on this officer that he would be able to do his job without any thought?
Right. No,
it's not possible.
Yeah, no.
So the wife is a silent force behind the husband. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt about it. And so that is how the career is also built, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is because of the wife that he's also able to do his job at peace.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to concentrate, focus at where he is. And where he is could be at a very dangerous place.
Right.
He could be fighting militants. He could be guarding something.
Mm-hmm.
He could be looking out. After all, he looks after the security aspects of so many things.
Yes.
So if a wife is going to be able to take half his load on the other side of the front, I'm sure he'll be able to do a good job, and that is going to help his career. A wife is an important support system for the army officer. Yes, we also have a lot of responsibility when it comes to AWWA,
mm-hmm.
Army Wives Welfare Association. Now, this is a very huge NGO,
mm-hmm.
which is in support of all the dependents of the army officer. So it's a lot of social philanthropy.
Yeah.
So when you are into this, you do look into the welfare of the families. So this is something which becomes a part of our life. we are an integral part of the armed forces. So it is very unlike a civilian or a corporate culture outside where the family members are not part of it.
Correct.
Here we are a very major part of the armed forces. So that is why, though I don't wear the uniform, I still have a lot of responsibility on my shoulder.
Right.
And I still say that I'm a part of the armed forces. You know, my responsibility towards the families are very important. And it's not just I'm giving it to them. They are also teaching me a lot of things. We are like friends, and we know that our husbands have gone ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We are in challenging positions. So we're supporting each other. We are empowering them.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a whole lot of things which makes us feel as a family. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are an extended family.
That's such a lovely way to put it. And I like that you mentioned AWA. I've heard about it and I've heard some of the amazing things that the AWA does. But can you give a little bit more insight into what is it that AWA does?
Right. So AWA is the Army Wives Welfare Association. So at lower levels, that is at a level of a small little unit, it is also called Family Welfare Organizations, FWO. Now, what we do is we've got families of the boys who are coming and living there in maybe one of the postings where they get a house. So when they do that, we empower them, we teach them, we train them, because most of them come from rural areas.
Right.
Of course, these days, I wouldn't say that they're not educated. They're all very well educated.
Mm.
Sometimes they are so, so very well educated that it's a proud feeling that, you know, they're part of the organization. But we also train the others. We make sure we give them guidance in a way where they can. So we run a lot of vocational training centers.
Okay.
So a lot of learning courses like computers, NTT, beauty parlor courses, stitching, fashion designing, cookery. So in these ways, we educate them, we train them. They're all certified courses. And so that tomorrow when they go back to their respective villages, they are empowered. So the idea is to empower these women and make them feel that they are truly independent in all terms.
That is fantastic.
And for kids, like even for officers' children, we've got a whole lot of AWA supports them, gives them a lot of hostels, a lot of education facilities. So we're truly looked after by the institution. And when you're looked after, then there is nothing that stops you from going ahead and doing some extra work for this organization.
Absolutely.
Very, very well put.
When you're looked after, then you can go ahead and do so much more for any organization, right?
Yeah. I also say something that came up to my mind. I got married as a 22-year-old girl and way back in 98. So I've spent 27 years of my life being a part of the armed forces.
Wow.
So I would say Army has taught me so much, has given me so much. I think the only way I can show my gratitude is by doing something for this NGO, help more people come in, help more people learn, and, you know, spread this thing that that's how we are a family. You know?
Yeah.
So it's my payback to this society of the armed force.
Yeah. No, and you're right. You do say very often that my family outside feels less of a family
Absolutely.
Than, you know, people that I have shared so many experiences with.
Yes. So because like we officers' wives, we live together when husbands are gone far away.
Mm.
And we are like having picnics every day. So I didn't want to say this. Because then you'll say, oh, this is hardship. No, it is not. Yes, it is in some ways. We find small pleasures.
Of course, and you have to because your husbands are out fighting on the border.
True. So yes, we do, you know, we enjoy these small little things and small joys cause great happiness. So, you know, we become, you get so close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there are friends who are like much closer than my own sister would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not every day that I'm meeting my sister who's staying far away. Of course, she's my family.
Mm-hmm.
But the friends who are there or the other officers, the colleagues' wives who are there, a senior or junior, doesn't really matter. We become like so close-knit family that I know that at any point of time, I can pick up the phone and tell that, look, I'm coming. I'm going to stay at your place.
Yeah.
So it's that beautiful. I know they'll stand by me when I need them. So it's so beautiful.
Basically, a chosen family.
Absolutely.
Okay, on that note, because there's so much that is required of an army officer's wife with AWA and with everything else that is going on, I know that a lot of women today who are choosing to marry officers are also choosing to remain working and continue their careers. And a lot of them are very well-educated professionals. You have doctors and lawyers who marry into the institution. So given that there's so much that is required of them just within the army itself, do you think it is possible for a young lady to keep her career, keep whatever her professional qualification is and work towards that while also, you know, trying to be a part of this institution, because somewhere something has to give.
Yes, of course. Women have to be working.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, yes, they must pursue a career. If you look at it in that way, my daughter herself is going to be a doctor. And let's say that she is going to be a part of the armed forces at some time.
Mm-hmm.
She must pursue what she's doing because
mm-hmm.
that's her passion. And I'm sure, Ashura, you'll agree that women are multitaskers. Yeah,
absolutely.
They don't need to be doing just one thing at a time.
Yes,
they can handle multitudes of things and work at a time. I'm sure you're not going to deny that.
Absolutely.
So when that is there, where is the doubt? Like, of course, they can put in their work. They don't need to give up anything for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They can do their job. They can keep their career up. Yes, one will have to find a very beautiful balance as to how they're going to do it. And once they have found a balance, I'm sure they'll do a wonderful job with, be it Ava, be it their house, be it managing their responsibilities as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter-in-law, or being as a career woman.
Yes.
So I think most of us do it. It's just that you're here, you're talking about an extra institution and you're making it feel like an extra work. It's part of my life. So when it's part of your life, there is no extras. It's just a normal thing that you're going to do. And I'm sure somebody who's inclined towards doing this and feels a lot for the army or mm-hmm. the army wives or the armed forces or the officers or the men, I'm sure any girl today will go the extra mile to do that for her husband. So I don't see it as a challenge at all. I see it as a part of thing that women are multitaskers mm-hmm. and they are beautiful at it.
I mean, I don't think there can be anything more like, absolutely, there can't be anything more empowering than hearing that,
true.
You know, from one woman to another, that yes, of course, go out and you will be able to handle it. And it's all good. Because I do have friends, I have family who are army wives, and I see that, you know, sometimes they have to leave their husbands and they've chosen to stay in different cities even sometimes. Yes. But it can't come at a compromise of their own career.
I agree. Yeah. Sometimes, yes, women have to make the hard choice. But it's because that she's such a great source of energy and strength behind the husband, the family is able to make that choice. And if she has made a choice of, you know, staying back and doing her career, I don't see anything wrong. And I'm sure when she is going to go and join her husband in those few little times or the few vacations that, you know, they get in a cant, I'm sure she'll be doing a bit for it.
Mm.
And you see, nothing comes easy, Aishwarya. Everything is hard work.
Mm.
Whether you are outside, you're inside, wherever you are.
Mm.
I'm sure today where you are at this position, your parents have done a lot of hard work.
Yes.
A lot of sacrifice to, you know, to bring you up here. You are doing a lot of sacrifices. You are giving up some things to become something. So see, as I said, it is a fine balance that one has to create.
Right.
And you cannot neglect any aspect of this part just because that you're a career woman, I will not do this. It is always a very smooth functioning that you have to operate with. So I guess girls these days, they should not forsake their career.
Yeah.
They should pursue it. They should also do these extra things, because I'm sure when you have that kind of a feeling that this is my gratitude, I'm showing it this way, it will come in dozens and dozens and in multitudes of it. So yeah. Nothing comes free of cost. No lunches are free and nothing is free of cost. That is a lot of hard work. But I guess women can do it all.
Yeah.
Well said. Women can do it all.
Okay. So you talked about your daughter and how she's going to be a doctor soon.
Right.
So I want to touch upon the lives of an army kid.
Okay.
You know, children who have grown up within the institution. I have a lot of friends who are either, you know, products of the army or their parents are in the forces, different military forces. So my next question is, there is a gap between the cant and what I want to call the outside world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The way you are brought up within the cant and the way you are brought up outside is different.
Absolutely.
And the child also experiences a lot more in the sense that they, every 2 years they're uprooted and they move to a different school. They have to, you know, go through the process of making friends again. Some people enjoy that.
Yes.
Some people and rightly so, have a problem with it in the sense that it's not very comfortable. Everybody is resistant to change.
Right.
So now that your daughter has gone out into the quote-unquote real world and is now a part of a medical school where she's interacting with so many people, her peers, who are not necessarily some, don't have an army background at all. Right. What advice would you give to her, having grown up outside in the civilian world? You know, what advice would you give to her about bridging that gap? And what advice would you give to young army wives and, you know, young mothers of army kids on how to raise their children in such a way that they're able to integrate into that world? Because they may or may not choose to be part of the institution when they grow up.
Correct. Absolutely.
So, Aishwarya, you rightly mentioned that children do face a lot of hardships when they move from place A to place B. The schools are new, friends are new, people are new, environment is new, climatic conditions are largely new. So everything being new, I would say they have no choice but to adapt to these circumstances.
Yes.
Yes, change, change is a very, very permanent factor of our lives. And one has a lot of resistance to it. But it is important. So I think they learn the value of change and they accept things faster. They adapt to it. Yes, I'm not saying that it comes easy. My daughter did have a lot of troubles. Like, for example, we moved her when she was just about to go into her 12th. So I moved from the south to the north. Which was a whole sea of absolute changes. So she had to, everything was different from the language to the way people communicated to how she had to adjust. And she did say, she said, "Kaun se parents aise karenge jo 12th mein bachche ko change kar rahe hain?" But initially I thought, I did feel, oh, am I making it hard for her? But now as she's finished her 12th and she's moved, she's gone into a beautiful college, I thought that if she could adjust in this 1 year and still excel, adapt, accept and move ahead and get the success, then the world is just open to her. And where is she going to get affected? So where is the bridging gap at all? She can just embrace any change that comes her way. And it's the survival of the fittest. Like, for example, I'll tell you, at one point, we were in a very small place, in a very small plant. So she went to an APS, an Army Public School. And an Army Public School, largely you have all the wards of the Army personnel only coming to this. So the entire peer group is very, very limited.
Right.
And the next posting, when we went to a little, a two-tier city. So I put her in a school outside. And that showed her that, oh my God, the outside world is really different.
Yeah.
So she got exposed to that. And initially it came like a shock for her. Because she was very, very, very young. Yeah. She was just barely in class 7. And then she faced that. She realized that she has to adapt to both the worlds. And she has to make do with the fact that she will survive in both the place and yet excel. So that also gave her an edge over the others. It gave her the edge saying that, yes, I can do this and I will do this. And when they start early and they start young, then they know how to go about the whole system. They know how they should behave. They know that when they are with the armed forces and the institution, how should they be? They know when they're exposed to the outside, how they will be. And today, social media is so much there.
Yes.
I'm sure the young mothers who are coming in as army officers' wives shouldn't really worry about all this because everything is in social media. They're all exposed to the wonderful life of the civil as well. So, in fact, we get the best of both the worlds. Let me put it like that. Would you credit social media with that? Well, not exactly. It's got its pros and cons. And one really can't say if it's a boon or a bane. But yes, you should take the good of everything. That's always what I tell my daughter, that if you are in here and you've got very less things for your resources for you, take the good of it.
Yeah.
If you are outside and you've got more resources, make the best of it. So it's make hay while sun shines, no matter where you are. So I don't think it's really a challenge. Initially, yes, everybody gropes. We all grope in the dark. And even though I have spent 27 years, let me tell you, Aishwarya, it's like letting out one secret. Every time I shift, I feel, oh, really? Do I have to really shift? And I feel that pangs of that shifting, the pangs of moving to a new place. And that kind of pangs, will I make friends? Will I know people? I've known so many. And by the time I know people in a small place, it's time for me to move. But yeah, it's beautiful though.
Yeah.
I could say it's nice. Would you want your daughter to marry an army officer?
Oh, that's a tricky question, Aishwarya. I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this and raise any objections. But yes, of course. I've been married into the army for 27 years.
Mm.
And army has taught me very beautiful things.
Mm.
It has been hard. It has not been easy. But it has not been, it has not been difficult either. I could manage. It taught me how to survive.
Mm.
It made me brave. It made me strong. But saying all this, I would also say, if she finds the right person, then it doesn't matter where you're going to be. It's just the right person. And army officers generally tend to be, you know, right lady. So yes, if she does find the right person, why not? It's a beautiful institution. We are looked after. We are privileged. We are there here to serve the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we travel. We explore places. We go to one of the most beautiful camps sometimes.
Yeah.
Stay in such lovely houses.
That
we
I can attest to.
Civil, we also go out and enjoy the best of the civil. So as I said, we get the best of both worlds. So why not? She should. And if she does, I'm perfectly happy with it.
Yeah, okay. But what do you think it's going to be like to transition from an army kid to an army wife?
Ah, lots. Army kid is really pampered, is really looked after. She's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an army wife, you have a different role to play. It's the same like when you're transforming from being just a child of the house and you're moving into being a bahu of a house or a wife.
Right.
You know, you do shoulder a lot of responsibilities. So moving into a family kind of a situation, it is different. But it's not difficult also because they know how the army functions. It's very easy for them to adjust, adapt. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people whom they know how to interact. They need not be trained on certain things or need not learn the new ways of how the life is.
Right.
So it's very easy for them to adjust. I don't think it's a major
thing.
But yes, surely there is a transition from being a child. Where you call everyone uncle, and then you'll be calling everyone by their ranks and Mrs. So-and-so.
Of course. Okay, so while you're here, can you tell us some of the most thrilling stories that have happened or some of the scariest times that you faced?
There are a lot of stories, but what comes to my mind very instantly is way back the Sanjuan attacks. Mm-hmm. I think this was back in 2018, I think February around, and this Jammu, the Sanjuan camp was attacked, and we were there. And Santosh was away for some duty or something. I can't really recollect. But I and my daughter were there, and the terrorists had run away from there. And there was a presumption that they had entered into the then adjoining area where we lived. And my house was on the corner most there.
Mm-hmm.
And those 10 days till they were really found and they were evacuated from the place, or, you know, they were eliminated from the place, it was sheer terror.
It was 10 days.
It was 10 days of a lot of tension, of a lot of speculations, a lot of fear.
Mm.
I remember, I don't think I would have slept even a minute in the night because even if there would be a sound of a pin, I would be up and I would be all with my wits end. Okay, kaha chupna hai? Kya karna hai? So much so that we had such small houses. I told my daughter that if something goes wrong, because I'm sure you heard of the Sanjuan attacks where they got into the camp and they really fired and, you know, killed people. And so it was terror.
Mm-hmm.
We were so petrified. See, I would tell my daughter that if something happens like that, just, you know, I mean, just pull up the bed, go into that, you know, the cabinet under the bed and hide there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we can save ourselves. So, I mean, yes, at that point of time when terror is on your head, you do all these, think of all these things as to how you're going to save yourself. But that was really, really... I mean, what should I say? It has, it kind of, even today, if there is a slight sound in the night, I wake up thinking, oh, am I at the same time?
Oh, wow.
10 days, yes, we had to be very careful. The cans had a way of alarming everybody. So there would be a warning siren and we knew we'd had to hide or we'd have to move into an area which was protected for us. Children were not allowed to go out and play. So we were there. At that point of time, my daughter was giving her final exams.
Oh, God.
So there was a lot of pressure as it is. And every night I would remember, I would just close the doors and push all the trunks of the furniture towards the door so that nobody budges in.
Oh my goodness.
And and ensure that there was no place from where anyone could even peep through or, you know, even kind of throw anything inside. So we would secure ourselves that way. It was quite, even now it raises a little goosebumps on me, but... we surpassed it, but yes, it did make a lot of gripping terror that, you know, one feels. Those 10 days were like, oh God, really? Will I get through this? Was my thing. And at the same time, you got to keep a check on your emotions. You can't show everybody because, yes, if I show today that I'm scared, what will my other counterparts feel?
Fear.
So we kept ourselves, you know, looking very strong. And at the same time, feeling, oh God, what's happening from within? So, yes, it was really not, it was not nice. But I guess we managed, we waded through it. And of course, the army was there to protect us. So we knew that there was always a little, this thing that nothing would happen to us and God is with us. So, yes, that's how it was.
That's amazing. And I heard that your daughter, as a part of, in one of the postings, was trained in school on how to hide during terror attacks and things like that. Yes. So that's the kind of things that army kids also go through.
They also know the tricks, how they should help themselves, help others.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things which you learn, which I think are like drills,
mm-hmm.
like something like firefighting drills, which mm-hmm. everyone learns. So one must learn these things because in today's world, there is fear psychosis everywhere. There is terrorism everywhere. So I think these things help. Yes, she did learn a few things. It's good. Something for their own self-defense. When if they can be, you know, then help themselves, help their friends, help their peers, it's something really good.
Wow. It has been such an amazing chat with you. I have learned so much and it has been so eye-opening about everything that army families and army wives go through. And I think it also comes with an encouragement that come join the institution.
Absolutely.
Of course, we need brilliant women. We need young minds and we need beautiful, glamorous looking women.
You can suit the men. So, of course, you must. And I encourage everyone. We are a part of a prestigious organization. It's a very prestigious thing to be a part of this institution. And one must take pride about it.
Yeah.
So, why not? Yes, of course, everyone should come in, join in, give their bit. This is the little wee bit that I can do. This is my opinion. That this is a wee little bit that I can do for my... for my husband and for his passion of being an army officer.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that has been such an amazing chat with you, Deepa. It has been lovely getting to know you and the institution that you represent. And I hope our listeners loved it too.
Thank you so much, Aishwarya. I must thank you for giving me this opportunity on this platform. And I hope it really goes... like,
I hope
should I say? It's viral. It's absolutely viral. And
thank you. Thank you so much. And with that, listeners, I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.